We are back from recess to start BOE for today, July 30th, 2015. I think where we let off last, was it Monday? Mr. Kerbo suggested we weren't getting anything accomplished, so that we were to leave, come back, try to get everything figured out today. There are seven properties on here. I believe those are the properties that you had brought to us, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
These are ones that aren't occupancy issues. They're not errors. They're not. They're just ones that you wanted to bring to us. Correct?
Correct.
Were these all filed after the deadline?
Yes. On the front page, those first four, five, six, actually all of them except the last one came to me after the deadline. And the other one was after the deadline as well. They didn't come to me. It was a parcel that we found in Hollister that the building was on the wrong parcel. We were trying to correct that. But the first six were all ones that came to me by telephone, or one gentleman came in person.
And the last one there, BOE 299, you've already put it on the correct part. I mean, correct parcel?
Correct, yeah.
Did we do that, or did you do that?
No, it was in our office. It's the old Hess rental. They're Payless. There's a building behind it that's on the wrong parcel. And I don't know, there should be another one that we take it off of.
Well, that's what I was wondering, did we?
I don't know where it is quite often.
Now, there was one, is that the one that was, because I noticed that property in the stack you gave us on Monday. I noticed the name of the people that own that, so it was probably done then with one of our sweeping motions of error corrections.
It could have got in that one stack. The other parcel may have got in the other stack. The last name was Washburn.
Is the same people that own the Chinese restaurant here?
Yes.
And the Taco Bell.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that was in that. That was in the previous.
Is it in the stack?
Okay. Well, the one you gave us on Monday. Yes.
Okay. Well, this should have gone with it.
Okay.
If it's an error in the last, I'm willing to go ahead and take care of it. I mean, it's different than the other six.
Yeah. So you want to go ahead and make a motion on BOE 299?
Motion to correct the error on motion 299.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion and second to correct the error on BOE number 299. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Before we get involved in all these, going back to these, could I ask a couple basic questions?
You can ask as much as you want.
As long as that lady don't write it down.
Just don't accuse me of being
a
bomb supporter.
Well, you all have been on this board. All of you have some experience on this board. This is a new adventure for me. But I got some very basic questions. I put a lot of thought in this since the last meeting. I guess when you get a tax statement, it kind of gives you that, tells you what percent of your taxes go to where. But actually, where do our taxes go? I know the schools get a big majority of it. Is that about right? Mm-hmm. Where else does it go? Does any of it go to the state?
There's 3% that goes to the state of Missouri to the blind trust fund.
And that's all?
3% is the only tax dollars that leave the county. Everything else goes to the schools, fire districts, health department, handicap, senior citizens.
Well, looking at that, my tax statement looks like the biggest majority goes to the schools, right?
They have the biggest levy.
The what?
They have the biggest levy.
Yeah.
And then the cities, I would say, is next.
If you live in the city limits.
If you live in the city limits.
Which he does not, so that's why you didn't see the city on yours.
Well, these guys probably argue, but it seems to me like their schools are doing pretty good. They've got some pretty good facilities. But we'll hear that later, I guess. Chuck, we talked about that 5%, 10%. Why was that? We probably talked about it, but I don't remember.
When I took office in September of 13, we adjusted our staff and we started going out and looking at properties. There's been a question come up a time or two, you know, why weren't you there? We took our map and we got three teams of two people that go out and we simply go section by section. And we got about 30 or 40% of the county reassessed, walked around, looked for new structures, looked for depreciation, checked our calculations, checked our grades, graded from A to F. Went through that whole process, and we got around about 30-40% of them. Those values changed. We changed our index, which is a bit of a confusing thing, but our index was 2.02 on residential structures. I raised it to 2.25. One of the reasons, like we did that, was well. The two main reasons, one, it was evident to me as I went along and even before I got here that as a whole, most of our values were too low.
That was the assessors based upon your teams going out.
Yeah.
You felt like that the taxes were actually too low?
Right. And we get what we call a sales letter whenever a property changes hands. We send the new owner a sales letter and ask them how much they paid for it. Missouri is a non-disclosure state. You don't have to report that. So we only get a portion of them back. But they send us back the information, what they paid for it. So when those come to our office, I take in what we call the property card that shows the value and the square feet and all those things. I staple that to that. And then look at the values, where we stand. Sometime back, not day one, but sometime back, I started using an Excel sheet. those that were 20% round about too high or too low, I started entering them in a spreadsheet. To this point, I've had 224 of those that were either 20% too high, 20% too low, 224. Of that 224, 176, we were too low on, 20% or more too low. 48 of them, we were too high on. A number of those, and I brought a copy along, a number of those that were too high on were condominiums. Now, this is just my guess of what happened. In 2009, James raised the values on condominiums in the 50% range. I'm guessing that that's one reason there were so many condominiums that we were high on our value. So we changed this index, which was about a 10% increase. If we went to your property and it was originally James's numbers, you might say, was $100,000, and we didn't find anything wrong, we had grades right, size right, nothing new and that kind of a thing, their value would have gone from that $100,000 to $110,000, gone up 10%. So we did that, and that was my plan. My original plan was to do that and stop. Send those people would get either increases or whatever happened to their parcel. Some of them stayed the same. Some of them went down because of errors and this and that. Frankly, I was overwhelmed, but not overwhelmed, but we received a number of calls when we sent out those notices saying your properties had gone up. And the comment was that it's not fair for this group of people to get increased and the rest of them not. So kicked it around, so to speak, and came up with the plan of adding a 5% increase to all the structures that we had not reassessed. And that was like 14,500 structures. So what the board was talking about Monday was making a change to that, if I heard the board right, to those 14,500 structures.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I never really quite understood all that. But I guess my next question is, what happens if we don't increase the taxes?
Okay.
Who benefits and who suffers?
The folks that were reassessed and their values went up, they're getting a correction. And the rest aren't getting a correction. As we went through the process, we sent out two batches. The first batch was about 8,000 parcels. Not to confuse the matter, but some of those 8,000 were just agriculture land. The state mandated we raise agriculture land 5%. Whole another issue and complete.
Okay.
But that first batch was 8,000. So some percentage, and I don't know what percentage, was the ag land, didn't have structures. But again, the people's gripe, and it's a valid gripe, because we couldn't get the whole county. We couldn't get around the whole county. Didn't have the staff to do it.
So I guess what we're saying is that the people are going to benefit, the people pay the taxes, if it don't go up.
Correct. The 14,000 would have a lower value.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're going to be happy about that.
They would be happy about that, I would think.
But who is going to suffer?
The issue, the way I see it, is, hey, I like my job. I don't like that part of my job is raising values when they need to be raised. I don't like that, but that's my job, is to try to find the fair market value and apply it to that. If you take away the 5%, in my opinion, you're going to, there's a percentage, and I didn't get the percentage, but 75%, let's throw a round number, of those 14,000 parcels are valued too low. And so if you take away the 5%, you're going to keep that low value there. What happened when we sent that second batch out, the 5%, 14,000, we got, I'm guessing, 600 to 800 phone calls. The one fellow that answered the phone generally first, if there wasn't somebody else online, he had like 320 or 30 or more. That's just that one gentleman. There were seven of us answering the phone there for a couple of 3 days, just hot and heavy. And I wished I would have, I had each one of us kept the phone number and the parcel number as we talked to those people. I wished I'd have thought ahead and had them make a mark. We ask a question. The question comes up is, ma'am, sir, your value. We have your value at $100,000. Do you think your house is worth $100,000 or way more, way less? Because that's what we're all about, and we explain the whole issue of values. A large number of those folks, when they saw that their house, most all of them, were still yet undervalued, got to understanding what's going on here and why that we did that.
Okay. So, we sat here, it was Monday, we sat here for about, seemed like an hour. Really didn't accomplish anything. I don't think there was a motion, but Danny, you seem to think, generally, you kind of made a suggestion that maybe we should just reduce, take it. Tell me again, reduce that by 5%?
It was my recommendation, I didn't make it into a motion,
yeah,
that we reduce the residents, the because of what Mrs. Monahan said, and that the residential was in compliance, that we reduced the residence back to what it was in 2014.
Well, we've been here for several days. A lot of them reduced. We've raised some, we've reduced some. But if we do what you suggested, those that we went over before...
None of those will be affected.
None of them will be affected?
Nothing that's come before this BOE will be affected. We have seen the evidence, we have set the values, and none of those will be affected. All the other residential areas will be lowered because we're in compliance with the residential now.
Okay.
And I don't think we should raise if we're in compliance.
I have a few questions. What was the values, and this is after you're explaining to Mr. Curbo, what were the values of the county in 2014?
What we call the Form 11A, the total value was $1,203,586.
$1,203,586. Now, that's the value of what?
2014, the county.
That's all the real property and personal property.
Are you able to back out the personal property on that?
The real property, total real property was $800 million. $866,015,380.
And what was it when you turned it in to Donna when you closed the book? So before BOE?
Form 11, which is before the BOE, was $883,856,140.
And on the 8,000 notices you sent out, you said there was a raise of 5% on the ag land. Is that broke out as far as what it was in 2014 and what it was what it is in 2015?
No, I don't have a breakout.
And then of the 700 to 800 that you said called in, how many of those did you guys lower?
I didn't keep track.
Did you lower some, half, majority? Don't know.
I'd say 10% maybe. That's probably on the high side. I will say it's not fun to tell somebody that, no, I can't. Many times the question is, would you put it back to what it was? It's not fun to say no. But if they don't have a valid reason, if their property is already undervalued, you can't do it.
This calculator won't go that high.
Big numbers.
That's everything. Just basic questions that kind of bring me up to date. And that brings us, are we up to the late filings?
Oh, I want to visit with you a little bit about something here. And I want to start off with saying that I know that the assessor's job has to be a very tough job. But I need to have some things explained to me, so that I understand how some of this happened. We're going to call this sheet of paper, this is one individual that owns these properties. And these properties, we're going to call this person Mr. A. And as you can see here, as Chuck has said to us many times, that there was a 5% increase on some and basically a 10% on some, and then the commercials went to the 235 if they were reassessed. Am I correct with that, Chuck?
Yes.
Okay. This one individual here, all those properties that you see at the top stayed the same. There was no 5% increase or 10% increase. And then the percentages on the others, I see one of them is an ag piece of ground. Actually, there's two or three of them that are, I guess, 122, 130 is ag ground, and it's 7% increase. I'd just like to know how something like this, and let's see if Wesley wants to pull those up, or if Chuck can explain it to me, how one person that gets a 5 or 10% increase, and these would all stay the same, or be... this is just one individual. Another concern of mine is the fact that the first four that we heard, Mr. Curbo, and you weren't here that day, the first day that we were here, there was $1 million that was over printed on the tax statements that were sent to the people. When they called in and they give us a number of what their appraised value was, believe two of them were in the $200,000 range. One of them was $500,000, and the other one was $100,000 or something. And I need to understand how that happens, and I also wonder about the people that have a tax statement sent to them that never called in. If it was a $200,000 to appraised too much, and we corrected it here as soon as the person visited with us on the phone. We said, well, there's something wrong, and I believe Chuck's statement was it was a computer error or something, and it was kicked back. But my concern is with all the other people that received tax statements that didn't, that just paid it. Another thing that I want you to consider is I've had several people that call me that have their insurance, their taxes, and their property payments all in an escrow account that goes out of their checking. When they receive a $20 increase in that, they may not even know it if it's sent to the escrow company, or if they get ready to pay it. A lot of those people were working and said that they didn't have the $20 to come out of there and be spent on the taxes. So those are questions that I know is a concern to everybody. It's a concern to the assessor. It's a concern to everybody that pays taxes. The schools. I want to get around to the schools because I considered what I was proposing that we do on the residential side of things, because we are in compliance there. That's what Mrs. Monahan said. I looked and Kirbyville is affected. The other day there was a question of whether how much it would hurt Kirbyville, and there was like $500,000 or something that couldn't. And so the information that I got was that it would basically hurt Kirbyville School about 1% on the correction. Well, I found a deal here that was tried to be presented either 2 or 4 years ago by Point Royal about the golf carts and the personal property. They had moved some golf carts or leased some golf carts, and they had moved those away. Well, James called their attention to it. And we straightened that out. They had to pay personal property taxes on those golf carts. They couldn't move them away January 1st and have them on site the rest of the year and them not pay taxes on them. Basically, that's exactly what this resort out at in the Kirbyville area, the golf course out there, is trying to do this year. We've already been through this 2-4 years ago, and you've made a good statement about not being here and knowing exactly what went on. Well, we've seen this happen back whenever James was assessor, that Point Royal Golf Course tried to pull the same thing. They moved all the golf courts away for a while, and then, was you here, Randy, when that took place? and then moved them back in, and the assessment for that date was not on there, and it was corrected. So those are the kind of things that I don't want to see Kirbyville School hurt for personal property taxes because someone has basically tried to, if you want to use the term, pull a fast one.
You're probably talking about Holiday Hills.
Holiday Hills Golf Course. I wasn't going to name them, but I just...
I did.
You name them.
That's why you get in the paper.
That's right. Well, I get my name.
But those are things that... there has been... And it was excellently done. There was a person in Chuck's staff that wrote an explanation down here of why that they were impacted, why Kirbyville Schools was impacted. I think Hollister is the other school that has and it's not near as much of an impact because of the bigger school district, the bigger the monies that are taken away. And I believe one other school that is impacted if, and I cut back on what I stated about moving all the properties back to 2014 values because I read this article and I said if 2014 that were in compliance with residential, then why should we raise everybody's residential? Just on a straight brine basis. I just don't think until they're reassessed, if they need to be raised, fine. But if they're just raised off of one straight percentage, I don't think that's right. I don't believe any one of us would appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I remember, and I know nothing about it, just what I read in the paper. Back when James was assessor, he got in a big flap with the state because he was trying to keep taxes low, right? Am I right?
You're right.
And I don't remember what the outcome of that was.
They lost the lawsuit.
They what?
The county lost the lawsuit.
They did.
But that was just money. It's a lot more complex than that.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Not as simple as...
Well, I'm a very simple person.
I understand that, but you'd be able to understand it. It's just, it's a lot further discussion.
But we've got representatives here listening in on this from four different schools. I guess the probably concern is going back to 2014, reducing the tax rate. I'd kind of like to hear from one of those guys back there as to what impact that's going to have on our school.
Well, and before that, after my questions to Chuck on the values, 35% of the total statements or parcels that were sent out was the 8,000 notices, the first 8,000 notices. The increase from the 866 to the 866 million to the 883, almost 884 million, was not a 5% increase. If it had been a 5% increase across the board, it would be $909 million. So it's a difference of $25,460,000. And that doesn't include the 14,000. I mean, it includes the 14,500 structures that are parcels that you sent out. Point is the brunt of the increase was not on what you actually assessed, but the brunt of the increase was on those notices that you didn't assess and just automatically gave them a 5%. That's where all your increases were when you average it out.
Well, I imagine, yeah.
So that means every one that you did assess, you lowered.
No.
Well, the math is showing it. Well, again, averages. We're doing averages.
Hold on.
Unless I'm wrong with my math.
You're telling me that I lowered everything, and that's not true, Brad.
No.
I can prove to you.
I didn't say lower.
I showed you tons of them.
You take it across the board. You look at everything.
Well,
If you automatically increase 14,500 parcels, that's what you said, right?
Brendan,
no,
I look at every property.
14,500 increased notices is what you sent out.
Yes.
Yes or wrong? Or yes or no?
Correct. Okay. 14,500.
And that was the second batch.
Correct.
Were all of those increases, or don't know? Did all of those receive at least that 5% increase?
A 5% increase on the structure only, not on the land.
Okay. So you sent out 14,500 increased notices.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all increases.
Yes, sir.
Now, those 8,000, those are increased notices.
Yes, sir.
So that's what you had to send out, right? But we've got 44,000 and change parcels.
What's your point? You say I had to send them out.
Because it was an increase notice.
Yeah, yes.
Right. So we sent out of the 44,000 parcels. 46,000 parcels.
Yeah.
We increased 22,500 roughly.
Okay.
The point is if you increased every single parcel, the 5%,
uh-huh,
we'd be well above the current book of Form 11A or Form 11. We'd be well above the $883 million.
Your point is?
Something's not adding up. How do we go from $866 million to $883 million? Say there was a 5% increase. If that were true, we'd at least be at 909. And that's only factoring in half of the parcels within the county.
Well,
so it goes back to equalization. Something's not equal there. Because okay, somebody's carrying more of the brunt than somebody else.
Okay.
I don't know who. I'm not making accusations. I don't know. But the math doesn't add up. It's just not right.
Well, I can explain it if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah.
You mentioned RFD Theater.
Okay.
Huge decrease.
Correct.
There's another theater. Huge decrease.
Okay.
Much commercial land. Lots of big decreases. Motels, big decreases.
Okay.
And those are just the big items that are fresh on my mind. But there was lots of parcels decreased. And I can take you and show you. I had a gentleman in office yesterday. Brought his card right here. His property is on the lake, valued at I've moved it to $139,000. It was $99,000. We had a lot of them that were huge increases. Maybe I shouldn't use the term a lot, but there was a number that were huge increases. So you can't.
Well, it sounds like to me though, you're shifting the burden onto the residential people.
You guys don't get it. Let me try again. My job, and I've said this before, I don't know how many times, but my job as assessor is to try to find the fair market value of your place. Individually, 46,000 parcels, I'm supposed to go out and find the fair market value of your place. Now, if your place is valued too high, I'm going to lower it. If your place is valued too low, I'm going to raise it. That's what I'm about. That's what the Board of Equalization is about. People come before you and they say, it ain't worth this. Not many come and say the other way. Most everybody wants it to come down. And so the Board of Equalization lowers it if they feel it's right. That's what I do. I do the same thing. Except I have to do the whole county. I just don't do the 80 or 200 or ever how many comes to the BOE. I do the whole county. And I use appraisals, Brandon. You mentioned RFD Theater. They brought me an appraisal. Paid probably a couple thousand. I don't know what they paid to get the appraisal. You've said over and over again you don't like appraisers.
No.
What have you said?
I really like Mr. Kerbo. He's an appraiser.
You haven't told us that you don't like appraisers?
What'd you say?
He's an ugly old carter.
But Can we see that appraisal?
You bet you can see that appraisal. And I've got other appraisals that you're welcome to see.
I think that I can make an appraisal say anything I want it to say.
Okay. So what do you want? What do you want the assessor to look at? Do you want me to say appraisers?
No.
We're not listening.
No. That's
Well, what are you saying to them?
What I'm saying is there's got to be a better way to do this. You don't just send out 14,000.
It's real easy. It's real
easy. I ran for commissioner. You ran for assessor.
It's real easy for you to sit there and say there is a better way.
You don't send out 14,500 increase notices, and you haven't even looked at the properties. And then you don't say you don't have enough staff, and we give you $202,000 that you haven't touched. And you don't say you don't have enough staff whenever for 2 months they're sitting in your office answering phone calls instead of out there being in the field.
Okay.
So.
I know you don't like what I did. You're in charge here. Do what you want
to
do.
I'm trying to figure out how we can make sure that those schools are taken care of, be it the citizens are taken care of. And you're not making it easy.
I'm really sorry about that. You know, it's interesting that in 2007...
I wasn't here in 2007. Everybody goes back.
I don't care about 2007. May I speak to Danny just a minute?
In just a second. Okay. I don't care about 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, or 14. I care about right now.
I'd like to ask Danny, if I may, Chairman.
Go ahead.
In 2007, your brother did a index increase from 1.90 to 2.02. And I understand that they drove by every property. They did not do what we're doing of actually walking around the property looking for porches and going through the whole process. They did drive by every one, but I don't think that means a whole lot. They need to be reassessed. But anyway, there was no gripe about that index, which was a 6% across the board. The properties were not, I don't think, assessed and looked at like we're doing currently. Then in 2009, we've come along and James did a huge increase to condominiums and the value of subdivision lots. The BOE lowered his raises by 50%, which still means that properties got, some of them got 25% increases that year. But you voted against that. You voted against that decrease of those excessive, what I felt like were excessive values. Did he go out and look at those properties? Did he go out and look at all those condominiums and say that this was wrong and that's why he increased them all that large amount? But you voted against it. How come?
You don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, I don't.
No, you don't.
Well, explain.
In the first place, you're telling me that you know that James's staff, which is the same staff that you've got, sir, mm-hmm. that they didn't go out and do their job. So that's what you're telling me.
Right.
Well, how do you know that? Have you asked them?
Yeah, we talked about it right here. They told us that they drove by. They did not get out of the truck and walk around the property and look for new construction. I'm not saying he didn't do something, but it's completely different from what we're doing today.
Well, so these seven or six, whatever you brought before us, they missed the deadline. You've volunteered to bring them before us. You want to lower all of them.
You want me to speak to those? I mean,
I just asked you. You want to lower all of them? I mean, because you talked about.
Yeah,
them.
I wouldn't be here. Sure.
So you're wanting to lower ones that called you after the fact.
Yep.
But yet you're not wanting to lower the ones that didn't call you because they probably know they got an increase other than a piece of mail, which I couldn't tell you if I got one or not. I'm sure I did.
Brandon, I'll say it again. We had a lot of people call
right.
when they got increase notices. And we went
through the 800, which is a pretty small percentage of the 14,500.
It is a small percentage. And there's a lot of people that just don't pay attention, as we've talked about before. They just don't pay attention.
Right.
But there's probably some people out there that looked at it and they saw, oh, he's got my house appraised at $100,000. I wouldn't take $150,000 for it. Why would I call the assessor then? And I'd have to say there were some calls that we didn't get because they do care, and they did look, and they saw what the value was, and so that's why we didn't get them. I mean, you're right, Brandon. I'm the assessor. It's my responsibility. If y'all don't like what I've done, you're in charge. Do what you want to do.
Brandon, I think we should hear from the...
I'll say, yeah, Mr. Gerber wanted to hear
superintendents
from the...
Superintendents and...
Not to put you guys on the spot.
Are we back to late filings, or are we still on...
I'm going to make a motion that we don't accept any late filings.
And I...
That missed the deadline.
I put a lot of thought into that. And I agree that they missed the deadline. They knew it was late, and I see no reason why we should have to go back. I'd second that motion.
We have a motion and a second to deny listening to these specific ones that were brought before us, Danny, or all late?
Those seven or six or seven that's in there. But I think we took care of one of those.
I think it's six.
So six.
We have a motion and a second to deny the six that were brought before us today. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Nay. Mr. Schofield, how did
nay.
You vote?
Nay.
Motion carries. Wesley, did you get that? We had three. Correct. We had three ayes and two nays.
Brandon and Mike were the nays.
Now,
are we back to increase or decrease?
Well, we're back to if any of the gentlemen would like to speak to the BOE from the schools.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just tried to jot a few notes and a few comments, hopefully to provide at least some of our thoughts and information that might be helpful. So, first thing, you know, we all have our roles to play, obviously from the school perspective. And I know all of you do as the BOE and, of course, the assessor, county clerk, whatever our roles might be. I do want to go back. Mr. Kerbo had made a question earlier. Just in listening, really, the Board of Equalization, it's not your job to deal with taxes. It's to deal with assessed value, which are really two totally separate issues. And I think a point was made earlier that was well made. We just want fair and reasonable assessments, whether those need to go down, stay the same, or go up. And we certainly are not experts in assessments, so it's difficult for us to make those assumptions. The other thing that jumped out at me, which you just voted on, I made a comment, you know, if appeals are granted late, it would be, and of course, my opinion, and I think $1.50 will get you a cup of coffee at the local McDonald's, but it would appear to me that if they are...
I think you can get a senior coffee.
Coffee for cheaper than that. But if they're late, and I don't care if it's Doug Hyder, Mike Schofield, Donna Neely, whomever, that's statutory. So it would appear to me that's pretty cut and dried.
And not to, just so you know, statutory, we do have the ability to bring any to the board, just so you're aware of that. So if there is a parcel number, any parcel number we want to bring up, whether it be brought to us by an individual or not, we can bring it up.
Right, but what I was referring to, that
if they did appeal and missed
the deadline, just like okay. You miss your IRS filing deadline, then right. There's some obvious things that you have to deal with. The other thing, and Commissioner Strand had mentioned this, and this is exactly the same information we received. We as a group met with the State Tax Commission representatives this summer. The State Tax Commission compliance, there's a 90% to 110% range, Chuck. You correct me if I'm wrong. And yes, residential was, I think, around 91%. I believe that's what we were told that day, which is within the compliance range. But commercial was not. And I think it was in the 70% range. And again, Chuck, you correct me if that was a wrong number. But just because we're within the compliance range does not mean that my house is assessed at fair market value if it's not looked at during a reassessment year. You know, I received an increase. And frankly, was a little bit pleased with that because I'm hoping that property values are starting to move up and move their way back to where they need to be. So I guess my point in that is, yes, the compliance percentage, we're in compliance, but it could also be up closer to 100% potentially. And that does not necessarily mean that an individual property is at fair market value. So you have to look at those individually. On the tax side, because I know that's very complicated, and of course, we have to deal with that. And we have very specific guidelines. We get a 3 or 4 page form from the state auditor's office, and it's basically a mathematical calculation. And we plug in all the data that we eventually get from the county clerk's office through the assessor and plug that in, and it gives us a number. Now, the only thing that we can potentially do with that is roll it back. But to answer the question of what's going to happen if assessments are lowered, it's really a simple formula. If assessments go down, then typically the tax rate will go up slightly to offset so that you do not lose any money, plus any amount that you get to keep, which is based on the prior December's consumer price index, which this last year was 0.8%. So the most additional that we're going to collect on a reassessed property is a little less than 1%. That's the way it works in the formula. Back before the recession, there were years it might be up to 5%. And they were much, much larger, obviously, when things were going well. So another person, I think one of you had mentioned earlier about the burden on taxpayers. The other thing that happens is when assessments go down, the tax rate goes up. So it does, in some sense, then cause certain people to have to pay more. So it would appear, from a big picture perspective, that the commercial compliance side obviously needs to be looked at, and I know Chuck is doing that. And I will say that those folks from the State Tax Commission did say that they thought things were on a good path as far as getting to where we needed to be. And then the last thing I'd say, and some of my colleagues may want to comment also or answer any questions, to me the big picture is what's the overall long-term impact? You know, we can keep lowering assessments, but long after I'm gone, the county's going to be in a bad situation. And, you know, we have a realtor on our board, and I ask him all the time, you know, where are things at? And obviously they're not back to where they were. But what I'm hearing is properties are starting to sell. We are seeing a leveling and increase. So I think we just have to be careful. The other thing that I would say respectfully, if we stay within our roles, if I don't come to you and appeal, then I'm just going to speak for Doug Hyder, resident of Taney County, then I would appreciate it if you do not mess with mine. I know you can look at all of them, and you have to make a big picture decision, but I also think there's a lot of people out there who don't say anything because I hope I don't sell mine for what I'm paying my taxes on. Matter of fact, I don't think I'll have to. I think I'll get more. So, again, those are just a few thoughts that I wrote down. Will they sell it for what it's worth? Our assessed value in Branson, and I don't remember the year, it's been about 5 years ago, we were about $667 million. Then we went down to 654, 644, 637. Current or latest from the clerk's office, 633. So we've seen about a $30 million drop. And again, not that it wasn't warranted, because the recession definitely drove the lowering of some assessed values. So a smattering of thoughts, but I just felt like it was good to share with you. I want to reiterate in closing what Danny said. Tough job. I don't envy you any having to sit here and folks coming, but a great leadership quote that I shared with my admin team is, the part of leadership, saying yes is easy, saying no is the hard part. And there's sometimes when people come and they need to be looked in the eye and say, hey, we appreciate it, we understand, but that's fair market value and we're going to uphold it. And that can be difficult to do, so... With that, I'll sit and let my colleagues...
Do you care if I ask you a question?
No, I'd be glad to answer any questions if you have any.
So you said the commercial side was at 71%?
And Chuck, you correct me, but I'm pretty sure that's what they told us this summer. Does that sound correct? In the 70% range?
You're talking about the compliance?
Yes.
That sounds right, but I...
So is that 70% means it's too low?
Yeah. Yeah, it means it needs to be between the 90 and 110 at some point.
Commercial needs to be coming up? He just told me he lowered because he had an appraisal, $1.6 million. So it's going the wrong way. Now, they're also going to say that, well, they only take 30 to look at. My point is anybody can make any number say what it needs to say. So it goes back to your point, Dr. Hyder. You want it to be fair, and you want it to be equal. And you can't tell me that if they didn't come out and look at your house, they should automatically increase it 5%. Maybe your house, but maybe not this gentleman's house over here or this young lady's house over here who lives in a double wide that can't afford what she's got, let alone a 5% increase, and they didn't even look at it. Tell me how that's fair. So it is a tough job. It's a very tough job. So by telling some people no, we're telling her too bad.
I would respond, if I may. I have some real numbers here that shows the majority of the homes, whether they've been looked at or not, the majority of the homes are considerably undervalued.
How do we know if they haven't looked at them?
So that is why
that I feel that the 5% was the right thing to do. Those that were already too high, a lot of them called and it was corrected. And if they didn't, some of them don't care, and they didn't, then it is sad, because they're going to get a 5% increase when they were already up to value or maybe too high. And I don't like that one bit. But if you look at the majority of the numbers, that's why I did it.
I don't know. I do know that I agree with you. My home is probably underassessed. I don't know. Can I afford the 5%? Fortunately, thank God, yes. But there's a lot of people out there that can't. And I don't think you guys looked at my house either. Probably glad you didn't, because you might have raised it $100,000. I don't know. Like I said, I don't even know what my taxes are on it. Because it's unlike what you said, Danny. It's part of my payment. I don't even know what it is.
Yes, I wanted to address to go ahead.
Well, you guys decided to deny these because they came late. For whatever reason, they came late. So you're denying these people a right to be heard and possibly lowered or increased, correct?
No.
Well, wait,
you're wrong.
Just a minute. You did deny them to be heard.
You made a statement that we were denying them and they would be lowered. We haven't even finished this BOE yet, so don't be telling me what we're doing till we're finished.
Sorry, Danny. I thought we took a vote to not listen
to
these.
We took a vote to not listen to them.
I feel the same way about the young lady with a mobile home. She had an opportunity.
She doesn't know if she has an opportunity. I'm not talking about anybody specific.
Okay. The taxpayers that received an increase notice had an opportunity. Let me just finish my statement, okay, and then you can respond. Had an opportunity to appeal. And we have seen that when there have been large increases in the past. We had 1,200 appeals in 2011 because of the increases. In 2009, we had 1,300 appeals. That was before that massive motion was made to decrease everything by 50%. Where are the people? We've only had
800 of them called into the assessor's office.
Yes, and were satisfied.
So, well,
or they would have appealed.
How many have come in here? Donna,
300.
Okay. How many have come in here and said, oh, you're right, our taxes are fine, we're going to withdraw? Or, oh, so again, that's
not even what we're discussing.
Yeah, you have had some do that.
Exactly. That's what I mean. We've had some do that. So, anyways.
I wanted to address Mr. Hyder.
Okay.
You made a statement a while ago about that you thought your property, and you was glad to see that it was increasing. They just had a news article on KY3 about this, about real estate and homes selling and everything looking better, and they would think it was a 5% in real estate that was up 5%. What we're doing here, and they also made this statement, is we're looking at January 1. And in January 1, we didn't have this large increase. As a matter of fact, the increase came through the summer, and it was after school was out, and the increase they thought was because people wanted to get these homes bought so that their children could go to school in these certain school districts when school started. That's what they give on KY3, I'm just saying. But we look at January 1, and that things were quite a bit different at that point than they are right now. Do you understand where I'm coming from on that? So when we talk about it, and I'll make a statement. As far as I'm concerned, I have sat here for 11 years on this thing, and I think my taxes or my assessment was too high on my house. But I'm an elected official, and I didn't want to come forward, and I didn't want to look like that I was griping about paying my taxes. Because my taxes and my assessment go to the good of the schools, the ambulance district, if something happens to me or my family, the roads is totally different. See, people get all misunderstood about where their taxes are and how they're used in the county. And we have the sales taxes, and we have the property taxes. And the property taxes are for things that are all good. So I get back, what I started to say is that the the fact that I thought that the assessment on my house was too much, I wasn't going to come in. I pay those taxes, and I look at it different than some other people do. I just think that it's good for the whole community, so I pay what I thought was too much money for my assessment on my home. So, but I did want to address that increase. I think when we look back 2 years, whenever whoever's sitting on this board looks back and they see that of January 1 this year to 2017, well, it's going to be a totally different picture. I think they'll look up. We sat here and told everybody in the past, and yeah, I know you didn't want to hear this, but in the past, we've sat here and told everybody, look, your assessments are going to go down because, I mean, in 2008 when we had the crash, property values started chinking down, and that's the reason, that's exactly the numbers you gave us there a while ago. That showed that. And as we sit here as a board, and none of these individuals on that board, we sat here and we told those people that came in, hey, you're going to see some relief in a couple of years because when we reassess, it's going to go, it's bound to go down. So that's where the numbers that you give are. But this is a tough job, and I know the assessor's job is a tough job. But we just need to understand, and the public needs to understand how they're being taxed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share.
How about Hollister? You want to tell us something?
Yeah, the only problem that I have is there's a long lesson when you go to present, and amateurs are not supposed to follow professionals, and so I feel kind of bad of following Dr. Hyder. But I sat here and I thought, what am I going to say that he's not already said? And I reflect back to this, and you guys are in a tough spot. And I thought back to a good friend of mine and been my friend ever since I was in first grade, Brent Lee. And Brent Lee, I can remember, didn't get to play one summer because he was climbing this five-barb fence. And when he climbed the five-barb fence, he was torn between both sides. And that's where you're at right now. And he's going to get hurt, and there's going to be people not happy if he goes to one side. There's going to be people that's not going to be happy if he goes to the other side. So I sat there and I reflected on that and how in the world, because I don't want to be Brent Lee and I don't want to be hurt and have stitches up and down the leg and things of that nature. But what do I need to do? And I need to look for a gate. And I need to quit climbing fences and going around and start looking for some gates. And I sit here and I looked at these things. And so I wanted to do a little bit of research and just go back a little bit on Dr. Hyder talked about jobs. He talked about different types of things. And I don't want to tell folks how to do those, but a little bit of history that I looked at, and when we talked to the State Tax Commission, it was this. One recommendation that they had to Chuck was to raise it 2.35. And Chuck did not go as high as 2.35 and actually brought it down to about 2.25. And that was not necessarily brought to light, or I had not heard that it had been brought to light, but they had a recommendation for him to make that index higher than what it really was. And so that was one thing that he had done, is brought it down to that 2.25 to do that. The other point as we talk about that is I sit there and I looked and talking to the State Tax Commission, a couple things. One is at 91%. We know we're at 91% today. We know next year, Chuck, unless he is told by the State Tax Commission or somebody else, next year is not a reassessment year. So if we're at 91% this year, it's going to take 2 years for us to get back into that. So where will that 91% be? I don't know, because it's going to be a lot of possibilities of what this is going to do on our economy. If it goes up, that's great, but we're going to be farther behind the 91% in 2 years when we do a reassessment again. The other one that was already pointed out was the around 70% in commercial. And that's what I sit here, and I guess I'm sitting here and I'm looking at from your standpoint and going, okay, we're going to lower one, but you have the ability to raise and lower. So I guess if you're wanting the thing about being in compliance, if that's what we're hanging our hat on in compliance, if we're not in compliance on another one, are you going to take the stance to say the one we're not in compliance, we're going to take that step and we're going to raise those because we're already in compliance with the other one, so we're going to lower them? And so that would be the question. You've got that authority to do that. Typically, this is not necessarily I went back and I looked at research and talked to them as well. Is this a common practice or is it an uncommon practice? It's not necessarily an uncommon practice when assessors do not make it out to every parcel to do those. And like I said, I've got my facts from the State Tax Commission. It's not an uncommon practice to do that. And so you have to think about those things of those. So I went back and I thought, well, is that a great case that we hold our hat on? Is we've got to reduce that and drop that back off. So when we talked to them, they said many people do that because they know they do not have the resources to do that. And, of course, the funding for per parcel to inspect it has been cut back. The only one that I was going to talk a little bit about was when you ask, Mr. Curbo, about who is going to be hurt with those things. And this is my opinion and my opinion alone. I sit there and I think about this, and one is I'm not saying that it's going to be, but the kids are ultimately, that's the reason why we're here. You guys do your job because you've been called to do such. Many of you have been elected to do those jobs. And I'm an educator because of kids, and that's really what I hang my hat on. And we want it to be done accurate. We want it to be fair. But what we see is when I talk about schools, and I'm not going to talk about things and say, you know, we're going to lose X amount of dollars or we're going to lose 1% as Kirbyville does. There's another aspect that we sit there and we look at. One is we have something called bonding capacity. And if our assessed valuation is going up or going down, and our student population is going up, we build buildings based upon that assessed valuation. In many districts, it's difficult to do. And so that's the other thing that we have to look at with our assessed valuation. When we look about that and the assessed valuation going up, this is one that's not been brought up, but it's one that we've utilized in the past and will continue to utilize. If the assessed valuation is going up and we have abilities to restructure our loans, we restructure our loans to lessen the burden on our taxpayers. We do that to lower interest rates and refinance those things, but we have to be able to do that with that assessed valuation being climbing. And to those points, we try to do that to lessen those burdens on our taxpayers. That's one. The other one, when we talk about taxpayers, I want to make sure that everybody understands pre-BOE, I did my calculation. I did my operating levy. And when I did my operating levy on pre-OB, it was going to drop over 2%. So my operating levy would actually drop 2% prior BOE. So what I'm saying is if those funds then are taking off the assessed valuation, my levy will rise. And so right now, with the assessed valuation I'm given, my levy is going to drop. However, if dollars are taken out of the assessed valuation, it is going to rise. And when I look about that and you pick about winners and losers, those people that got those reassessments or raises in reassessments are going to get hit again because of this drop of the 5%. And that's one thing I think you need to understand. But just looking that with the assessment, it was going to drop at a 2.22, I think, on my operating levy. So that's what we've got. I'll be open for questions, but just kind of looked at this and just wanted to come up here and state those types of things to make sure you kind of understood from the perspective of Hollister of kind of where we stood. And you've done your research. We're going to be hit a little bit at Hollister Schools. We're probably not going to be hit the way that the other school districts are. The one thing that concerns me, and I think it's concerned everybody here, is we want to keep our taxes low. But in the same token, I think as a community, when we look at that, when people are coming to our county to build and expand, that's one thing people do. They research. Are they growing? Are they not growing? And one thing they'll do to look at is the assessed valuation. And the concern is that we see things going on. We see them going on in our community. And I'm very, very grateful for what's going on in the Hollister community because we've got a lot of new construction. But the other additions, we're thinking maybe that assessment should be climbing just a little bit to assist with some of those. So I'm open for questions for you guys. If you've got some or comments, I'd field them.
Oh, new construction part of it that you talked about. I would see that Hollister would be offset as far as your assessed values because of basically everything that's going on in the Hollister-Ridgedale area. Yep. It's not a, I'm a little bit confused about how you can be hurt with the new construction that's taking place and everything that's booming in your area. Because it's absolutely the, right now it's the centerpiece for the county.
You know, and that's, you make a great point, Mr. Strahan. You made it make an excellent point. And that's why I said with these folks out here, I'm not going to be hurt near as bad as the rest of them because of my new construction. And that new construction is going to be there. I guess I'm looking at it in this perspective. And you've alluded to things that have happened in the past and things of that nature. This would be my concern as a superintendent of schools. I am not here to just educate. I know I'm hired to educate those kids from Hollister. But I took an oath to be an educator to help all kids and educate them. And we alluded to things of past and things. If I'm not here to support those and these types of things, and you know I'm here, that I'm not necessarily agreeance with this, and we'll voice that to you. Because I don't necessarily think this needs to be common practice for the county. I think we need to get down to the root of those things, get things fixed, and then begin to build those forward. But here's the thing. In 3 years, 4 years, if this becomes common practice, it very well could be that Forsyth might not be affected, but I would be. And I'm going to stand with those folks because we are together in this in public education. And hopefully that answers your question there just to a certain degree.
I understand.
Yes, sir.
I understand that what you're saying is a total different situation as far as schools. And I appreciate the fact that our school districts work together to try to make the entire county school system better.
A better place for kids.
Doesn't mean anything but economic growth for us and more taxes. The better your schools are, the more people that will move into your area, the more businesses that will create and
provide a workforce
for us. So I'm with you 100%. I'm just trying to, as you mentioned, it might hurt you a little bit, and I had you down on the list as a percentage hurt, but I can't. And I won't go into it any further.
Yeah, the part is that I really wanted to point out is when you looked at that is the part is I won't necessarily say it's going to be completely detrimental to our district because that levy is going to be shift the burden's going to be shifted to other folks if this happens.
Right. Thank you, guys.
You bet. Any other questions?
Unless the school be the bad guys for raising levies instead of the county being the bad guys for raising assessed value.
Do you really want me to get into that one, that discussion? We got a long time here.
You and I have that privately.
Yeah, but that's really it. I think that's one thing that we try to do, or at least you know from our standpoint is we're going to set those up where we can, and we do. I mean, we've got a ceiling that we cannot go above. And we would love to, and if I've talked to Chuck about that, I would love to roll it back. And of course, the higher that assessed valuation is, the more I'm able to lessen that burden on taxpayers. So, any other questions?
I think Hollister says, thank God for Johnny Morris.
Is she writing that down? It has been a great boost to us, but you know, that was just mine, and I know that, you know, I sit there and I look back and ultimately, my goal is I'm not big on Band-Aids. One, they didn't stay on for very long, and two, it was a temporary thing. And I think that would be my ploy to, I guess, this Board of Equalization is it's got to be a long-term fix, or you're going to hear from me and again next year, and you're going to want to hear from me next year and think, hey, what's this going to be? But I'm looking for something because, you know, I think everybody knows we've moved to the area. Most of these people live in the area, and we want it to be a great place for kids. And so we're looking for a long-term solution.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we take a 5-minute break?
Yes, we can. Take a 5-minute recess.
You got to go.